Well, today we're talking about prayer is warfare. Somebody say prayer is warfare. One more time, say prayer is warfare. If I could use a subtopic today, I would say I'm speaking about the enemy behind the scenes. The enemy behind the scenes. Please say that with me one time. The enemy behind the scenes. The enemy behind the scenes. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 14. Daniel chapter 10, 12 to 14. I hope you have a journal. I hope you have somewhere to write. Even if it's an electronic journal, I hope you have somewhere to write. Because how many people know as I preach today, God's going to speak into you. And also, right there, he's going to speak to you directly. Amen. If you're in a position to receive and you're making a demand on heaven, he will speak to you. And then you can go through the year and read the promises that God has given you and be able to know that you're on track. Amen. You guys ready to read? Here we go. One, two, three, go. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future. For this vision concerns a time yet to come. Let's also turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Prayer is warfare. I heard a story that moved me a few years ago. There was a young girl called Emma. Emma was 14 years old. And just like any little teenager, every 14-year-old girl, she started having little crushes on boys. Any 14-year-olds in here? Well, she had a crush on a little boy called Jonathan. And one day, as she was infatuated and just overwhelmed with feelings of love and passion for Jonathan, she did something that was rather inappropriate. She admits that it was inappropriate. She took a selfie of herself, a rather revealing picture of herself, and texted it to Jonathan. But what she didn't realize was that Jonathan was a bully. And as soon as Jonathan got that picture, he texted back to Emma and said, listen, I'm going to expose you. I'm going to forward this picture to as many other kids as possible in this school, and you're going to be exposed. And then I'm also going to take this picture and post it on social media and expose you to the world. And of course, Emma was terrified and scared. She wasn't a bad girl. She was a shy little girl. She just made a bad decision. So she texted back to Jonathan and said, please, Jonathan, don't do that. I will do whatever you want me to do. How many people know that's what a bully wants to hear? So Jonathan said, okay, Emma, from now on, I'm going to text you information and give you instructions on things I want you to do. And as long as you do those things, your picture is safe with me. So there began a series of hideous episodes as Jonathan was texting Emma and telling her to do crazy things. Here's little Emma, who was shy and quiet. All of a sudden, she was fighting in the cafeteria because Jonathan would tell her, I want you to go smack somebody during lunchtime today. All of a sudden, parents and teachers and friends realized that Emma was out of character. She wasn't doing the kind of stuff she would normally do. She wasn't misbehaving because she was a bad girl. She was misbehaving because she was under the influence of a bully operating behind the scenes. She was doing crazy things. But then one day she decided, I'm fed up, I'm done with this. She texted Jonathan back and said, Jonathan, I'm not going to do your stuff anymore. I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my parents. I'm going to tell the teachers. And I'm going to tell them everything you made me do. And if you dare expose me, I'm going to tell my parents to report you to the police. And of course, Jonathan was scared. And Emma freed herself from the influence of a bully behind the scenes. People of God, I just want to remind you today. I want to give you a tweet, and I want to remind you that everything that happens in the physical realm is controlled by spirits behind the scenes. Everything you see, whether good or evil, the good things are controlled and influenced by the Spirit of God, and the bad things are influenced and controlled by the evil spirits of the enemy. That's why the scripture we just read here, the Bible says, for we don't fight against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we don't fight against flesh and blood. We're fighting rulers and principalities, demonic spirits that operate behind the scenes. So I want to remind you here, Impact Church, that strife and the confusion you're experiencing in your marriage, in your family, that drug addiction, the craziness and the violence. We're not fighting people. Please stop fighting your spouse. The problem is not your kids. The problem is not the government. We are fighting spirits that operate behind the scenes. Come on, somebody. And the Word of God also says in the book of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are strongholds? They are spiritual forces that operate behind the scenes. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not physical. They're not natural. They're not tangible. But they are spiritual. Prayer is the weapon of warfare that we have to engage to deal with the spirits that are controlling our world behind the scenes. Come on, somebody say a good amen. We're in a fight. We're in a fight. The craziness that's happening, that drug addiction, the molestations, the things that are happening in our community. The problem is not with the president. Please quit fighting Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, whether you voted for them or not. I want you to know that the real enemy of America is a spirit that's operating behind the scenes. That's why I declare right now, and I take dominion authority over every spirit that's operating in the spirit realm against your life in the name of Jesus, against your family, and I declare the freedom of God over you in the name of Jesus. If you feel that, if you believe that, somebody shout amen. We take dominion authority over every principality, over every force of wickedness against your family in the name of Jesus. That alcoholism, that drug addiction is nothing but a bully operating behind the scenes. There's some people who are in the sphere of academia, people who are intellectuals, some psychological specialists who absolutely, unequivocally dismiss the notion of evil. Matter of fact, they believe that everything that has an appearance of evil is simply things that are as a result of mental illnesses. Some pathological or environmental factors are the things that cause evil. They don't believe the Word of God. Matter of fact, they believe that us who have subscribed to this notion that evil is real, they think we are myopic. We're small-minded, we're mystical, we're superstitious, we're uneducated. But how many people know the Bible says evil is real? Hallelujah. These people say it's just mental illnesses. So Mr. Psychologist, please tell me what happens when a terrorist wraps a bomb around themselves and go into a mall where there's mothers and kids and tries to kill innocent people and shed innocent blood. Are you telling me that person just forgot to take their Prozac? Talk to me, somebody. They forgot to take their depression medication. Talk to me, somebody. Now, what happens when a guy called Adolf Hitler systematically, strategically, and diabolically annihilates over 6 million people under a long interval time of time, annihilating people, killing people, taking communities like this, marching them into a place, stripping them naked in front of their parents and their kids, and then marching them into gas chambers and butchering them and killing them like animals. Tell me that Adolf Hitler was just a guy who ran away from a mental institution and needed his medication. Talk to me, somebody. And if you think that was bad, there was another guy called Chairman Mao from China. This guy did not kill 6 million of his own people. He killed 60 million of his own people, known as the greatest catastrophe in history, the history of humanity. 60 million of his own people. Tell me that Chairman Mao was just having a manic episode, a manic depression episode. Tell me he needed his medication. I beg to differ. The Bible says evil is real. Evil is real. The beginnings of evil, there was an angel called Lucifer who rebelled in heaven and convinced a third of angels, and they were cast down on earth, and he became the devil, and those angels became demons, personalities without bodies that influence our world. So I'm looking for a generation that knows how to pray. I'm looking for a generation that can pray with me. I'm looking for a generation in this 21st century who will begin to pray for their families, begin to pray for your community, begin to pray for your neighborhood. I'm looking for a generation who, when your auntie tells you that they're getting ready to have a divorce, I'm looking for a generation who say, "Auntie, before you divorce, let me pray. Let me confront that bully that's operating behind the scenes." I'm looking for a generation when your child is sick that you begin to pray, that you begin to cast out the devils that have been operating in your family for generations upon generation. I came today to announce, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I came here to announce that the children of God are rising up, that we're going to cast out that devil in the name of Jesus. Come on, can I see somebody in this place who's ready to pray, ready to lift up the name of Jesus, ready to invoke the angelic power to come into our families and into our situation and to tell the devil, "You've got to flee. Take your hands off from my family. Take your hands off from my children. Take your hands off my nieces. Take that sickness out of my family. In the name of Jesus, salvation is coming to my house." Somebody talk to me in this place. Somebody say, "I'm ready to pray. I'm ready to engage in the spiritual realm. I'm ready to stand on the gap in America and tell the devil, 'Devil, we are coming across the line in the name of Jesus.'" Let me hear the saints of the Lord say, "Hallelujah." That's what happened in the scripture that I just read for you. Please put Daniel 10 up. Put Daniel 10 up. It says, "Then he said," this was an angel talking to Daniel. Daniel was in a 21 days of fasting and prayer like we are right now. "Then he said, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven.'" He says, since the first day you began to pray, your request has been heard. You've got to remember, according to Mark chapter 9, that there are certain demonic spirits that will not move until you fast and pray. This was not the first time Daniel had fasted, had prayed before. But when he began to fast and pray, it says that since the first day you began to fast, the miracle was released. Somebody say, "The first day." But you've got to see this. It says the first day you began to pray, the miracle was released. But the angel did not come to deliver that miracle on the first day. He came after 21 days because there was something else that was happening. Go on to the next scripture. It says, "But for 21 days," somebody say 21 days. It says, "For 21 days, the spirit," hey, spirit. That's a spirit, that's a force, that's a bully operating behind the scenes. This was the name of the spirit, known as the Prince of Persia. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Blocked my way. Blocked my way. This is what we call satanic blockage. This is what we call satanic interruptions. And there are some of you in this place, your miracle has been delaying. "God, I want my husband. You've given me a promise that I'm going to get what belongs to me. God, I'm going to have my miracle." Some of you have been out of employment and different things have been happening. You just don't seem to catch a break. There's been a blockage in the spirit. But thank God, Daniel never stopped praying, because there are blockages, there are spiritual blockages that we got to pray against in the name of Jesus. It says, "From the first day you began to pray, a miracle was released. But the angel said, 'I was resisted, I was blocked.'" Now tell me, what would have happened if Daniel stopped praying? What would have happened if Daniel decided to stop his fasting on the fifth day, on the 10th day, on the 20th day? It says, for 21 days. So as Daniel is praying, God is working something out. Now watch what happens. It says, "Then Michael," somebody shout, "Michael." Michael is an archangel. Michael is a superior angel. When Lucifer misbehaved in heaven, God instructed Michael to take care of Lucifer. Michael punched Lucifer so much he fell down like lightning. That's what the Bible says. This dude is ruthless. But that's what your prayer does. When you begin to pray, you're releasing angels of God to fight for you in the spiritual realm, because the battle is not in the natural. It's in the spiritual realm. So as Daniel is praying, Daniel is invoking the angel, Michael himself shows up on the scene. He says, but Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me. And I've left him there with the spirit. He says, I left him there. He's still fighting. He's still fighting. This, who is talking? This was Angel Gabriel talking. Because Angel Gabriel is the angel of information in heaven. He's the cabinet minister of information. But Michael is the cabinet minister of defense. He's the one who fights. Angel Gabriel brings information. He's the one who brought information to Joseph to tell him about his wife Mary having a baby called Jesus. And he says, I left Michael there still fighting, but thank God Daniel never stopped praying, because God was releasing and working something out as he was praying. I've got to show you this. Let me get a few people to help me out. Let me get a few people. Josh, you know I was going to call on you, Josh. Josh, come up. Jalen, you know I was going to call you. Where are you, Jalen? Come on, Jalen. I need somebody. Christian, you're going to help me out. Come on, come on, come on, buddy. Come on stage. Come on stage. I want you guys to stand here. I like to help you guys see this. Run up, Christian. Run up. There we go. Here we go. Christian, you're going to stand here. Face me. Jalen, stand behind Christian. Face me. Josh, you can stand behind Jalen. And Jerry, come on, let's put our hands on this brother right here. Let's celebrate this brother. Jerry, I want you to just go stand back there where that speaker is, all the way back there. Now, here's what's happening in the scripture, because some of you are wondering, what is Daniel praying about? So you're going to be Daniel, buddy, with your handsome-looking model self. Come on. And Jalen, I'll tell you who you're going to be. Josh, I'm going to tell you who you're going to be in a little bit. According to Daniel chapter 9, Daniel realizes the children of Israel and Daniel are in captivity. They're in Babylon. Somebody say Babylon. They've lost a battle. They're slaves in Babylon. And one day, Daniel is reading the word of God according to Daniel chapter 9. He's reading what Jeremiah had written according to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Let's read that real quick. Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I'll come and I'll bring you home. Keep that scripture there. So Daniel and the children of Israel have been in Babylon for a long time. And one day he's reading that right there, and he realizes we were only supposed to be here for 70 years. And Daniel checks his iPhone, and he consults Siri, and he realizes that Siri says that they've been there for more than 70 years. And Daniel is saying, something has got to be wrong with this. We were only supposed to be here for 70 years, and something has got to be wrong with this. There's something that's happening. There's a blockage here. We were supposed to be out of this place. And there's some of you that feel like you're stuck in that place. I was supposed to have my miracle. I was supposed to have my breakthrough, and I feel like I'm stuck. Anybody in this place? I feel like I'm stuck in this place. But here's what happened. The king of Babylon at the time was Darius. Somebody said Darius. You're going to be Darius because you got some good-looking hair. You got a beard that looks like Darius. This is a preacher of the word of God right here. Fire preacher right here. So Darius. So Daniel is thinking it's Darius who's holding them back from getting out of exile. And he's fighting with Darius. He's fighting with Darius. He's saying Darius is a ruthless king. It's because of Darius that we're here. But what Daniel doesn't realize until he's fasting and praying is that there's something else that's operating behind Darius. So, Josh, you're going to be the prince of Persia because you look tall. You look in a movie. There's a spirit that's influencing Darius, that all the decrees and the things that Darius is doing, it's really not Darius. He's really just a victim of a spirit. And that's what happens for most of us. When we're in this position and we feel stuck, things are going crazy, we start to fight with the wrong enemy. start to fight with your spouse. I should have never married you. It's because of you that I'm in this place. It's because of you that I'm stuck. My husband is crazy. My boss is crazy. It's because of you that I'm stuck in this place. We are fighting the wrong enemy. And if you're keeping yourself busy thinking you're fighting, but you're fighting the wrong enemy. And after you've tired yourself from fighting, the real enemy is still there facing you. Fighting with the wrong enemy. Fighting the wrong enemy. But then here's what happens. Daniel begins to pray. Do you know how to pray, Christian? Come on. Begin to pray. There we go. Do it like an African. Come on. Do it like you're Italian. Come on. Get the devil. Choke him. Come on. There we go. Come on. Can we celebrate him as he's praying? Let's encourage him. Hallelujah. He's praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. And as he is praying for 21 days, and I'm looking for a generation. People of God, it's about consistency. Some of you are saying, God, I've been praying. People, I've been praying for 2 years, believing for a husband. I've been praying for 3 years, believing. It's consistency. The Bible says Daniel never stopped. And I'm just waiting and looking for a generation. I'm looking for 5 people in here that can last 21 days fasting and praying with me without caving and giving up. Come on, somebody. It's about consistency. And the Bible says, come on, begin praying again. Begin praying. Don't stop. Come on, let's appreciate him. Let's put our hands as he prays. The Bible says as he's praying, God is releasing Michael. Come on, Michael. Come on, Michael. God is releasing Michael and he's taking care of the Prince of Persia. Come on, somebody celebrate. Come on, let me get somebody on the piano. Let's do it. Let's go to church in this place. God is releasing Michael to fight somebody in this place. I came in this place to encourage you. Keep fighting your fight. Keep fighting your fight. Keep praying. Keep believing until God gives you the miracle in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't stop. I didn't tell you to stop. Come on, don't stop. Keep praying until the breakthrough comes through. Hallelujah. Adriel, jump on the drum. Let's. We got to go back to the gospel church in this place. What happened? Come on, we gotta go. We're too contemporary up in this place. Somebody lift up a shout in this place. Somebody give God praise in this place and bless his holy name. Hallelujah. That's what your prayers do. There's angels. And I hear the voice of God saying, Jerry, you are a Michael in this church. You're not just a guy serving and standing in the gap. You are a warrior in the spirit. You are a protector because you are a warrior in the spirit. God has planted you in this ministry to stand on the gap in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. But what happens? Jerry, go back. What happens is most of us begin to pray and we stop just like he stopped. And the moment you stop, the angels are not engaged and invoked anymore because there's an enemy behind the scenes. There's an enemy behind the scenes. Stay right there. It also says in the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 20 that Jesus was walking with Peter. This time around, you're going to be Jesus. Can you be Jesus? You're going to be Jesus. And you're going to be Peter, Jalen. Not the very best day for you today, but you get better stuff next time. You've always been the main actor. Today, you're the supporting actor, buddy. We got a new actor in the building. You got Jesus. Okay, my man. I got you. So he's Peter. Josh, not a good day for you today. But I'm releasing favor over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just a movie. Somebody say, just a movie. So Jesus is walking with Peter. And Jesus is telling Peter that the time has come for me. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to do what I came on earth to do. And all of a sudden, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 20, Peter rebukes Jesus. Hey, somebody say, hey. Young people, let me talk to you. I want you to know that correction upwards is always out of order. I can suggest things to my bishop, and I have. I can plead with my bishop, and I have. But I can't rebuke him because correction upwards is always out of order. You come out of alignment when you do that. So Peter rebukes Jesus and says, no, he's rebuking Jesus. But because Jesus can see into the spirit realm, he recognizes that that's not Peter speaking. That there's a spirit that's operating behind Peter. So Jesus does not even waste time talking to Peter, because that's what most of us are doing. He doesn't even waste time talking to Peter. He addresses the source of the problem. He's looking at Peter and he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But he's dealing with the spirit behind the scenes. Deals with the spirit behind the scenes. He shouts, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Somebody shouted, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Come on, shout it. "Get thee behind me, Satan." When I lift my feet, I want you to shout it. Oh, do it again. It says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That's what this generation needs to learn to do. Hallelujah. When somebody tells you they are sick, yes, buy them flowers, do all that kind of stuff. But I hope if you're a member of this church, I hope you can lay your hands on them and shout, "Get thee behind me, Satan." When the nation is picketing and people are out there marching on the streets. Now, if you want to go march on the streets, if you want to do that peacefully, that's fine. It's okay for us to do everything in the natural that we want to do. But how many people know when it's said and done, the problem is not what we are seeing. The problem is not the government. The problem is not Donald Trump. They just do things as they're being. There's something behind the scenes. How many people know when you're experiencing things in a nation like now, it's time to begin to shout and say, it's time to shout and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because most of us are wasting time dealing with Peter. Dealing with Peter. And here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to realize. What I want you to realize was that in the same chapter, just a few verses before that, Jesus says to his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And Peter jumps up and says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah." And Jesus congratulates him and says, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you." In other words, you're saying this and you're speaking this under the influence of God himself. So one moment, Peter is speaking under the influence of God. And the next moment, he's speaking under the influence of a bully and a demonic spirit behind the scenes. So I want you to know this. As believers, I want you to know it's possible for the believers around you to be speaking some things under the influence of the enemy. I'm not saying they're possessed. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not possessed. You can't be possessed. But it's possible for you in your moment of weakness and insecurity to align yourself with the voice of the enemy and begin to speak. And if you're a member of this church, you're not going to be a novice. You're not going to be ignorant. You have to know when it's the enemy speaking. That's why I pray there's not a day that goes by that I don't lay hands on my kids every single night. And then I go to our room and I lay hands on my wife and I stroke that beautiful hair and I say, "Devil, this baby, this awesome woman right here is untouchable. You can't touch her. You can't mess with her." There's not a week that goes by that I don't stand on the gap and pray for this church, because it's possible for a believer to be speaking under the influence of God and then have a moment of weakness. And you have to cover yourself. Somebody shout hallelujah. You have to cover yourself. You have to stand in the gap. I want to show you a scripture here in the book of, here's a scripture in the book of, let's find it here. In the book of Jeremiah, 1 Samuel 18 verse 20. 1 Samuel 18 verse 20. In this scripture here, how many people know Saul was always trying to kill David? So here's Saul. He comes to David, and here's what he does. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David, and they taught Saul, and the thing pleased him. Next scripture. So Saul said, "I will give her to him." Who? His daughter. "I'm going to give David my daughter, that she may be a what?" Say that again. "I will give my daughter to David, so she may be a snare to him." Hey. I got to do that one African style. Hey. Some of you are so obsessed. The people around you pretend like they want to bless you. Please don't receive everything people are offering you, because they pretend that they want to bless you, but they want to eat you for lunch. You've got to be sharp in the spirit. There are people in your circle that you gotta be careful. Don't just introduce everybody to your husband. Don't just introduce everybody to your new boyfriend. "This is my new boyfriend. We're so happy for you." Deep within them, they're praying that guy dumps you. Listen, there are people in this church. I'm an African preacher. I'm not ignorant. I know I look 16, but I've been in this thing 3 generations, baby. Come on, somebody. I know there are people who come in this place. Pastor, we love you. Pastor, you're everything. I look through that thing, and those people are praying that this church fails. But the devil is a liar. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke every demonic spirit of the enemy. We declare that Impact Church will make mega impact in the name of Jesus. And I take dominion authority over every spirit of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Come on, somebody, take 60 seconds and begin to pray for your family. I lift up my family. I cover my family. I release the blessing of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I want you guys to see as I finish here. You guys can stand right there because you guys are good looking. Here's where some people struggle. Here's where some people struggle. God is an omnibenevolent God. Please write that down. God is an omnibenevolent God, which simply means he's all good. There's no evil in him. There's no evil trace. God is also an omniscient God, which means he's all-knowing. God is also an omnipotent God, which means he has all power. God is also a sovereign God, which means he's in control of everything. Now, here's where most people struggle. If God is omnibenevolent, he has good in him. And if God is omniscient, which means he knows everything, he can see evil coming. He's omnipotent. Not only can he see evil coming, he has the power to stop it. He's sovereign. He's in control of everything. This is where people struggle. If God is good, if God is all-knowing, if God is powerful, if he's in control of everything, why does he not stop the evil? I'm about to give you a secret today in Jesus' name. Why doesn't he stop the evil? Well, even though God is omnipotent, omnibenevolent, omniscient, sovereign, I want you to know that God is also infinite. So there's areas of God you just will never understand. There's areas you will never understand on this side of the earth because you're finite. But here's the other thing. Here's what's important. One of the greatest attributes of God is that God is holy. Because he's a holy and just God, he has given man the freedom of choice, free will. Because he doesn't want to twist your arm. He wants you to choose God freely. And because we have freedom of choice, not everybody chooses God. There are people who will choose evil, and that's how evil comes into the earth. God has given man a jurisdiction on the earth, spiritual jurisdiction on earth, because of the power of choice. And God is so holy, he can look at evil and he wants to attack evil. He wants to crush it, but his holiness stops him. Holiness stops him. That's why the believer has to pray. Because prayer is giving God permission, is giving God the full permission to intervene into your affairs and to fight on your behalf. The God who's in heaven, you guys are going to be angels now. You guys are going to be angels. And I'm going to be, I'm going to be God. No, I don't want to say that. I'm so African, that scares me. I can't say that. But you guys are going to be the angels of God. God is powerful and he has angels. He's ready to come in and attack. But because of his holiness, he holds back. But when you begin to pray, you're giving God full permission to show up into your affairs and to fight on your behalf. That's why somebody has got to pray. When you pray, you're giving God the legal right to come into the spiritual jurisdiction and to exercise his power. And then the angels come. The fire of God is felt. The power of Jesus is felt. When you begin to pray, when you begin to shout, the angels begin to be released. Can you release God into your family to fight these devils? Can somebody pray for 21 days with me of fasting and prayer and begin to release God and give him permission to come into Washington, D.C., to come into Boston, to come into California? Can you please, 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 I'm telling you, the enemy is not Darius. The enemy is not this. Quit fighting with people on social media. Quit wasting time fighting with people on social media. The enemy is working behind the scenes. You're going to waste your time and your energy instead of posting another thing. Please go in your closet and begin to engage the heavens and begin to pray and release the angels of God to come and fight on our behalf. Because the enemy is behind the scenes. the enemy is behind the sins. Here's where I want to end. When I was young, I had this little kid that used to bully me all the time. He used to take my stuff. And one day my father came to pick me up from work, pick me up from school. And this kid had taken my bag. And I said, Dad, he's got my bag again. And I remember my dad's going, oh, this kid is crazy. He was walking to go get the bag for me. And somehow this time around, he stopped and he turned around and he came back to me and he said, Zenzo, this time you go get your own bag. I'm not going to go over there to get the bag for you. I want you to go over there and get your bag for yourself. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to support you, but I want you to walk over there and go get your own bag. And all of a sudden, I got the strength, man. I was walking like Denzel Washington. I went over to that kid and I said, you give me my bag. You're never going to trouble me again. You're never going to mess with me again. And I got my bag and that kid never troubled me ever again. And I've got news for somebody in this place. The devil has been kicking around for too long. He's been fighting your family for too long. He's been messing with you for too long. That sickness in your family, that drug addiction in your family, that chaos, divorce after divorce. And I just came in this place today to tell you it's time for you to go into the enemy's camp and go get your stuff by yourself. Get your family back. Get your stuff back. Get your job back. Get your promotion back. Come on, somebody in this place, get your material back. Get the thing that the enemy has stolen from you back. Get the things back from you. Come on, get your job back. The enemy is done messing with you. Get your child back. Get your teenager back. Get everything that the enemy has stolen from you back. Come on, I want to stir up something in you today. How many people in this place are tired of the devil stealing stuff from you? Tired of the devil taking stuff from you? I just came in this place to announce and say, take your stuff back in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, I want you to slap two or three people in the back of the head and tell them, I'm getting my stuff back. I'm getting my stuff back. I'm getting my stuff back. Come on, lift up a shout. I'm getting my stuff back. I'm lifting up my shout. I'm getting my stuff back. I'm getting what belongs to me. I'm rising up. I'm taking my stuff back. I'm taking my family back. Come on, I'm taking my wife back. This is the year. No longer is the devil going to trouble me in my family. I'm taking my stuff back. I'm taking my blessing back. Come on, somebody rise up in this place and say, I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking my stuff back. I'm taking my child back. I'm taking my uncle back. I'm taking my miracle back. Cancer, you have to get out of my family. High blood pressure, you have to get out of my family. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody lift up a prayer. Lift up a shout. I'm taking it back. My family, I'm taking back my community. I'm taking back my nation. We're taking back America in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. I'm taking it back. Somebody shout, in the name of Jesus. Shout it, in the name of Jesus. I take dominion authority over every spirit, over every ruler in the spiritual realm. I take dominion authority. Devil, I cast you out. Get out of my family. Get out of my home. You have no place in my kids. In the name of Jesus. Declare, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.